Good evening. It is great to see you this evening. Wonderful that we can be together again. Our number's a little short this evening, but we are certainly glad that you are here. If you're visiting with us, we're thankful for your presence as well. We want to invite you back at any opportunity that you have to be with us here at O'Neill. I was handed an announcement that I'm about to forget. We didn't have time to put on the overhead. The visitation for Wilma Adams, as the wife of Bobby Adams, who is here with us this evening, is tomorrow at Spry Funeral Home from 6 to 8 in the evening. And then the funeral is Tuesday at 11 o'clock. So we certainly want to remember that and that family as they go through this time of sorrow. I want to quickly thank the teachers. I haven't had an opportunity to actually get around to thanking all of them that worked on VBS and strove so diligently to do, to teach, to take part in teaching our children. I'm so thankful for them. I hope all of you as well will take opportunity, if you have it, to show your appreciation to them. They work very hard, spend a lot of time and a lot of hours doing that work, and we're certainly thankful for them taking part in VBS and all of our teachers that do that from week to week. They carry a very large burden teaching our children here at church, and we are certainly thankful for them doing that, taking on that responsibility. Last week, last Sunday evening, Britt Thompson preached for us, talked about the cost of sin. He started his sermon in Genesis chapter 3. That's where we're going to begin our study this evening. He talks there, Genesis chapter 3, about Adam and Eve and the first sin, the cost of that sin, the cost of sin that we have still today, how to overcome it. This evening, I would like for us to go back to Genesis chapter 3, look at that story very quickly as we remember it. From having studied it last week, Genesis chapter 3, there we have Adam and Eve in the garden. And we know the parameters that they have been given, the rules that they have been given by God, that they can partake of anything except that one tree. And we also know that Satan comes in the form of a serpent and tempts Eve, and she partakes, and she gives to Adam, and he too partakes. And then God comes. He comes to see Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. It says, "And then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you?' Or, 'Where art thou?'" Very simple question that the Lord asks Adam. "Where art thou, Adam? Where are you at? Why are you hiding from me?" It's a very simple question that we still need to ask ourselves today. Where art thou? Where are you? Where am I? That's what I would like for us to spend this evening thinking about. That simple question found in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. Where art thou? Why is it that do you think God asked Adam that question? Why would he? Why would God ask Adam, "Where are you?" Didn't God know? Didn't God know where Adam was? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 says, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." God knew where Adam was. God knew what Adam had done. And he's always known. He's always known where Adam was and what Adam had done. He's always known where we are and what we've done. Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10 says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." God knows. God didn't have to ask Adam, "Where art thou?" God knew. Maybe that God wanted Adam to know that he knew. "I know that you are hiding. I know that you have something to hide. I know that you have sinned. And I want you to know that I know." As we think about this question this evening, it may be the most simple sermon you've ever heard. And I hope that it is. I hope that it is a sermon so simple that we think about it every day. I hope that we find ourselves asking the question, "Where art thou? Where are we? What are we doing? What have we done?" Matthew chapter 12, we find Jesus there healing the sick. They bring a demon-possessed man to Christ. And Jesus heals this man of the demon. And then they begin to question and say, "You know, he must be of the devil," talking of Christ. And Jesus says, "Not so. Why would the devil cleanse of the devil? Why would the devil put away a demon? Because a house set against itself will not stand. A kingdom set against itself goes to destruction." Jesus says, "I must be of God because I put out that devil, because I put out that demon." Jesus distinguishes between good and evil. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, he says, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." Jesus says, "A house divided will not stand." He who is against me, or he who is not with me, is against me. And there's only two choices there. There's only two choices that Christ gives us. We are either with him, or we're against him. Where art thou? Are we with him? Do we stand with him and the things that he says, the things that he commands? Or are we disobedient? Paul puts it in terms that are a little more harsh when he writes to the Romans. Romans chapter 6. Verses 16 through 18, Paul there says, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you become slaves of righteousness." Paul says, you are slaves to something. You are either a slave to evil. You're either a slave to sin, or you're a slave to righteousness. You're either a servant of God, or you're a servant of the world. Where art thou? Paul tells the Romans, thanks be to God, that even though we were slaves to sin, even though we were servants of the devil, we don't have to be. We don't have to stay in that condition. We can turn from the world and turn back to God. Where art thou? Jesus, during his Galilean ministry, puts it in terms that we like to hear a little better. We don't like to think about being slaves or servants to something. We want something that's a little easier for us to digest, a little easier for us to understand and to grasp. Jesus has been teaching. He has a great multitude of people that are beginning to follow him. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, we have the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus goes up onto this hill or mountain there beside the Sea of Galilee. The people sit down and he begins to preach. He uses these words in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. He says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve both God and the world. You cannot. It's impossible. Though we try to. We try to play both sides, but God says we can't. God says you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice who you will serve and how you will serve them. Where art thou? Where do we find ourselves? Which side do we find ourselves standing on? Which side do we find ourselves standing with? We have to choose which way we'll go. We have to choose to serve God and diligently seek Him. The next chapter there of that same sermon, Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, are two very familiar passages. We use them regularly, talking about the narrow gate, the broad way. Verse 13 there of Matthew chapter 7, it says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. There are a couple of key words that we want to look at when we read these two verses. We always think about the wide gate and the broad way. And there are many who go by it. There are many who travel that path. I like the last two words. When he starts talking about the narrow gate, he says, narrow is the gate and difficult is their way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. We're not just getting in line and following along with the crowd. That's what the broad way is. That's what the wide way is. We don't have to do anything. We just fall in line with what the world is doing. But to get to God, to make it to that narrow gate, we have to find it. We have to look for it. We have to strive for it. It's going to take some effort on our part. I don't know how many of you like to walk for exercise. I'm not really one that does. You can tell. I'm not really one that likes to go exercise. But when I think about these two gates, think about someone out walking. Maybe you like to go to the football field at one of the high schools. Walk around the track. There's nothing wrong with that. But I want to tell you, you're on the wide way. You see, there's nothing difficult about that. You just go up there and you walk. It's nice and flat. There's no bumps. There may be some people there. But you just go up there and you do your laps and you're done, right? No real victory. No real reward at the end aside from the fact that I walked my laps. But if you're one who likes to go out into the woods, maybe you like to go to the mountains or to a state park somewhere. You like to pull over on the side there where they have those little signs. It's just a beginning of a trail. You don't know what's out there. It's just a trailhead there. You go out and you walk on that. And it's difficult. There's ups and downs and there's rocks. There's probably things grown across that trail because there's not very many people that go out there. Matter of fact, you probably, along the way, there'll be a sign every once in a while, you're still on the trail. You haven't lost your way. You're not lost in the woods. You're still on the trail. Just keep going. And then you get to the end. Maybe there's a waterfall there or some breathtaking view. The reward is there. And there's people driving past it all day long. They never make the effort to go out the trail. That's the narrow way. That's what God is talking about. That's what Christ means when he says, there are few who find it, there are few who even want to give the effort to receive the reward. Where art thou? What choice are you making? What choice am I? Where do I want to be? Do we want to be a part of the church? We have that choice. In Acts chapter 2, there Peter is delivering the first gospel sermon. And at the end of that sermon, he's faced with a question by the people. The people are emotional. Scripture says they're pricked in their hearts. They want to know, what do I need to do? They realize I am lost. And Peter is asked the question, what must we do? And he answers in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37 and 38. He tells them to repent, to be baptized for the remission of their sins. And then in verse 40 of Acts chapter, or 47, I'm sorry, it says, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The Lord was adding people to the church. Those who were being saved. Those who had made the decision. Those who had been obedient. We too get to make that decision. We too get to decide whether or not we're going to be obedient. Where art thou? That's what God wants for us. That's what Christ gave Himself for. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4 says, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. That's what God wants for us. That's the choice God wants us to make when given the opportunity. Where art thou? Matthew chapter 25. Jesus there talks about the day of judgment. He talks about the fact that on that day there will be a separation. Verses 31 through 33 says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left hand. Goes on there to talk about those on His right hand will be invited into an eternal kingdom with Him. Those on the left will be told to depart into punishment. It says, God will divide the sheep from the goats. Where art thou? Where will we stand? Which hand will we be placed on? Let's think for a moment about Adam's answer back in Genesis chapter 3. God asked Adam, where art thou? And this is his answer in verse 10. It says, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Adam knew. Adam knew that he was naked. Adam knew that he had sinned. And God knew. And when we ask ourselves, where art thou? We know. I know where I am. I know what I've done. And God knows. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11 says, say to them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways. Oh, why should you die, O house of Israel? God doesn't want us to be disobedient. God wants us to turn from our wicked ways. God wants us to turn from the world and turn to Him. It says God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but we know that there will be rejoicing when we repent. Luke chapter 15, verse 10 says, Likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. When we turn from evil, there is rejoicing. But we have to turn from it. Where art thou? What we have to keep in mind is that we can't play God for the fool. Adam knew that he had done wrong. Adam knew that he had sinned. And God knew. Psalm chapter 50, verse 21 says, "These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes." God says, don't think that I'm like you. You sin and you don't hear from me, that doesn't mean that I'm okay with it. There will come a day when we will stand before God, and all of the things that stand between us and Him will be laid before us. Where art thou? Where are you? Where am I? You know, all of the thoughts this evening have presented us with a choice. One choice. Choice between God and evil. Or God versus the world. Choice between heaven and hell. Or obedience and disobedience. Where art thou? Where are you this evening? If you're here and you are not a Christian, you wish to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, we would invite you to come. If you're here and you are a Christian, you have sin in your life that you need to make public correction of. If there's any way we can assist you, we would invite you to come while together we stand and while we sing.